Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
Good morning. Today's Bible reading comes from the book of Mark, and we're reading chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. If you have the red Bible, that is on page 1570. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, church. How are we going? You all right? You okay? All right? Don't mind me. I'm just going to, while I kick things off for us, I'm just going to make a coffee because I'm really thirsty and I need one. No, why am I making a coffee on stage? Well, I'm sure like many of us, this is how our day starts. Maybe it's tea, maybe it's coffee, maybe it's something like this, but I think it's reasonable to assume that we're doing something fairly routine. So usually at home, I actually, to confess, make an espresso machine, but I thought that'd be a little bit difficult to try and bring down here, then make that on stage be a little bit more distracting, but that is okay. This is how my day starts. And in this space, I am intentionally wanting to invite God into my life, as it's the first thing in my day. I make filter coffee. I make it all the time at church with the staff team. It's been really fun to share, you know, fun brews, really expensive beans, all these kinds of things. It's been a pleasure to show that to the staff team. Well, most of the staff team. I would like us maybe to take a moment to pray for Rachel at some particular point today. That would be great. No, in this space, I don't say the same thing every day, but what I do is say something along these lines. Loving God, I welcome you in my life today. You are welcome in this place. I want to do what you have planned for me. I'm going to pray, church, as we get into our message today. Loving God, thanks for this time. Thanks that you are wonderful, that your works are wonderful. And yeah, help us to seek you for your good purposes. Amen. So as mentioned, this is my daily desire that I invite the Lord into my life through making coffee. You know, sometimes they even say things like the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, all these kinds of things. I invite God to have his will in this place at the start of my day and then to speak in for the rest of my day. So why am I preaching? Why am I talking about coffee today? Well, at the start of the year, the staff team, we were talking about when we might like to preach. And I really, really confidently stated that I would like to preach in the Stay Weird series. And why? I think it's just because I'm really happy to be associated with being weird. I feel like it's in my blood, in my DNA. No, not just that. Also because October last year, Rachel, Mike, Nikki and I, we went to a conference called Renaissance, where it was a really great weekend. We went to sort of like a ministry experience. And then we did a lot of things. So much about it was great. But I think the particular highlight was hearing from this man. He's so gorgeous. I love this man. His name is Strawn Coleman. He's a musician. He's from New Zealand. He's a beautiful man with a beautiful accent. But he actually didn't do any singing. He actually spoke on prayer and what it means to have an intimate prayer life with God. He's the founder and director of the Commoners Communion, it's called. He's also involved with Practicing the Way, which is what a lot of our growth groups are going to be doing this term. So to be sure to get into that. This was his main message across the weekend. He wants prayer to be more than a mental dialogue, but as a way of existing with God in our everyday, ordinary lives. He calls this beholding, which is the title of one of his books, Beholding Prayer. So did I come out of this conference absolutely gushing on this man? Well, I'm not going to comment or deny that. Is that weird to say? I don't know. I don't think it's weird. Maybe that's weird. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, but I was inspired, right? I was inspired to read what he said. I came out of that weekend making a conscious effort to explore a deeper prayer life and all that comes with that. Intimacy, vulnerability, silence, prayer. And I set myself on the journey of seeking this. And I thought by the time, you know, maybe like 6-8 months down the line, I thought by the time I get to church today, I'd be like, great. I'm so excited to stand up here and share everything that I have learned. Well, that day's here, and I think it's fair to say the journey didn't go as planned, but I also think that is for the better. So morning starts, I make my coffee, and as I said, the intention is to invite the Lord into this space. Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that he is good. This is not me preaching a theology of coffee, by the way, although that sounds like a really good idea. Someone should do that. This is me. What I love about coffee is mostly the smell amongst the taste because, and actually to do with my prayer life, I use the aroma, particularly filter coffee is particularly potent. I use that as kind of a way to connect back with God. I find in my prayers I'm deeply distracted all the time, and I use the aroma to function as an incense, and I want the smell to draw me back to the Father. And there from there, my morning looks like hopefully some prayer, some Bible reading. At the moment, I've been working through a podcast, which just sort of does a little devotion on a particular part of the Bible each day, and yeah, that's been my intention to pray with God. And honestly, I don't nail this every day and for my whole life for routines and habits. I've struggled with a bit of an all or nothing complex. And what I mean by that is I want to do a habit and I really want to do it well. And then I miss a couple of days, I slip up, and then I just crash out of doing it. And it wasn't just for prayer and following God. It's kind of been for everything, to be honest. It's been for trying to like practice a musical instrument, whether it's trying to do exercise. It's kind of just been with me, and I don't really know why, but it's okay. It's been there. And in my journey of seeking Christ this year, he's actually shown me that. And God has shown me the lies in this thinking. In all of our shortcomings, God is ready to welcome us back with open arms, like the prodigal son. You know, he looks down on us with so much grace. You know, whether I'm coming back to God later that day, the next day, the day after, he simply just desires an intimate friendship with me. I love this quote from Rich Villadas, also in Practicing the Way, as I learned from week one of our session just this Tuesday. 1,000 distractions in prayer, 1,000 reasons to come back to God. So through a single daily task, I invite the Lord into all of my life. And slowly and softly, I'm just seeing him more in all things. So looking back at October, it's clear when I set the goal of doing this, seeking God more, if I'm honest, I went in with my heart in the wrong place. I was seeking God, yes, but it kind of began with seeking him for my purpose, to learn, to be better, to be more like Strawn. And I am relieved to say this did not go the way that I planned. You know, God, even in my wrong ideas, God's kind of did just God in here, as he's going to do. He got into my heart, my body, and mind, and he showed me the ways of this. Even in selfish pursuits, He can use your prayer and your life for good purposes. And Matthew chapter 6 teaches us this. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. To seek his kingdom and his righteousness is to seek first God for his good purposes. And this call from Jesus sets us apart in our world. We're in one where we're encouraged to think for ourselves, whether it be for material gain, our own sense of purpose, power, influence, emotional gain, security. Even in my prayer life, I was using prayer for just gaining, you know, spiritual knowledge and wisdom, and thank the Lord that he showed me the errors of that. And what does Christ say about this? Well, he calls us to deny yourself. Deny gain for your purposes. Luke 9:23. Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This idea of self-gain is not how we are supposed to be living. It's not how God intended. His good purposes are our gain and our path to victory and freedom. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. This call from Christ is for our benefit. This is for our good. City of Light are this amazing Christian songwriting group, and I love them for their music, but particularly for their lyrics. And one song I've been adoring this year is called His Glory Is My Good. And I think I just love it for the title. I love saying that. His glory is my good. There is a precious freedom in wanting to live more like him and be more like him as we work towards holiness. Matthew 6, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, these verses encourage us to prioritize God and God's will. Go after his good purposes, and our other needs will be met. So last year, I convinced myself I had a thriving prayer life. In the mornings, I'd make my morning coffee. Please hold. Yum, that was good. Make my morning coffee, and then I'd basically find a spot in my living room, rug on the ground, particular cushion. I'd sit on down on the floor, and I'd be just doing some praying and meditating. I generally start about 5 minutes or so, and then slowly over time, I increased that timer. Turned into 10 minutes, turned into 15, turned into 20, and yeah, this was my prayer life. And these are good things I was doing, but I realized my intentions were really unhealthy, and my goal unintentionally became not spending time with God, but the amount of time I was spending with God. I began to idolize routine and honestly just lose sight of the true purpose. I lost sight of seeking God. I was seeking God for my good purpose. And it became prideful. It's a very worldly way of looking at spending time with God. It was consumerist. It was transactional. Our world is consumerist, and that sadly can affect the way we approach God. I mean, everything around us, we pay for a service to happen. We work to get paid for our service. We use our screens as a transaction of distraction, escapism. We put things up on socials. often for a reaction, whether it be positive or negative, that is still a type of transaction. We are wanting to do this to receive something. In his book, Beholding, Strawn, who I was talking about before, puts it like this. The theology of consumerism subtly underlies much of the way we see the world, experience church, and sadly, how we pray. I'd go into prayer and meditation seeking something, strength, hope, revelation, and I'd be disappointed when that didn't happen. And I wasn't disappointed in God as much as myself, to be honest. I had this unhealthy assumption that I disappointed him and I didn't make the most of my time. I wasn't in tune. I was distracted. Sometimes I approached prayer for guilt, for lack of words or revelation. And with God, there is not pressure for productivity or performance. You know, there is a worldly pressure in all our environments for productivity and performance, but not with God. That sets us apart. We can overanalyze and scrutinize our prayer lives from a worldly perspective, but God simply desires you, just as you are. And this is from one of Strawn's prayer books, which I just love saying these words. God, you're not a product to be consumed, but a wonder to behold. Father, make me your beholder. Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. His goodness is there for us to reach out and touch. This creator, overwhelmingly awesome, magnificent, worthy of our praise. God simply desires you. So our Bible reading today came from the Gospel of Mark, and it points us towards God's desire for close relationship and intimacy with each of us. Mark 8, verse 22, they came to Bethsaida and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. This man is brought to Jesus not by his own accord. And what is Jesus' first response? It's just to spend time with him, away from the others. Intimacy. You know, to parallel Matthew chapter 6, Jesus sought first an intimate friendship with the man, as he does with you. We need to first seek Christ. Seek comes from the Greek word zetio, with a few meanings, one of which is the desire to possess. We desperately need the desire to possess intimate friendship with God. I think this space I'm talking about, right, it's a pretty scary one, because it talks about things like vulnerability and intimacy. And I think that's really scary, because it's often in these spaces, right, where God reveals things about us that we actually don't want to admit about ourselves. It's those deep fears, those habits we need to change, the things we are not ready to deny about ourselves. But it's a space. This is a space to be vulnerable with the Lord. It's a space that overflows with beauty. And Mark 8:23 paints an incredible description of this. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Just think about that. If you couldn't see and you just, your hand out, Jesus, take my hand, lead the way. It's so beautiful. God is desiring you. And this is from Strawn. I was learning that the greatest power in prayer is just to be together with God, and that being with God is often as much the answer to the prayers we're praying as the answers we are seeking ourselves. Strawn was an active touring musician for the first part of the 2010s, And then about 2015, he became chronically ill, for which there wasn't any cure, and he stopped sort of touring, being on the road as a musician, and he didn't work in this time, and he spent extended stints at a Franciscan retreat. This is what his days looked like. He would journal, he would pray, he would look out the window, he would be silent, and he would sleep, because that's actually all he was able to do at the time. And he documents, in his book, he documents his anger about this, his lament in this space. He felt no answer to his prayers, no answer to his pain. And he writes how he gave up in praying for healing. He gave up. And he said instead a prayer of acceptance, and everything changed. He thanked God for his life, and then he said this: "Father, if this is it, if this is what my life will look like till the day I die, financially scrapped, vocationally stuffed, relationally strained, and medically confused, then it's okay. I have you. I have life. I have this beautiful world and my beautiful family. Let me be alive to enjoy and behold you, whatever may come." That's awesome, isn't it? Prayer for Strawn became just sitting in front of the Lord, just watching, learning to discover that the beauty was just already present all around him. You know, he decided that his pain and this struggle was not going to affect his gazing at God. That's what he calls all this, gazing at God. Church, I wonder if I had the prayer on screen and put some empty spaces there, what would you put in there? Do you feel a weight of expectation to be dependable to those around you? Do you struggle to support those around you? Are you feeling pressure to provide? Do you fail to love yourself, those deep parts of yourself? Do you feel held back by a lack of purpose? If I'm honest, church, that is one. Being held back by a lack of purpose is something I am petrified about. I don't clearly know God's plan for me. I've never had a plan for me. I've never known what to do. And that is that's a deep fear that I carry. Church, well, we're set apart because these things, these burdens that we carry are insignificant compared to the wonder of Christ. You know, because Christ is so much bigger and better than these burdens that we carry. You know, we're invited to sit with him just as you are, to be real with him. In all my questions and challenges, I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. I will strive to do this. Psalm 27:4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Psalm 34:1-3, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will be always on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Church, you don't need to have it all together to sit with God. We can boldly approach him with confidence. God does not require perfection. He just requires you. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." My name is Nick, and I am a hot mess. But I'm a hot mess with God. The Lord is desperate to take you by the hand and have an intimate friendship with all of you. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he'd spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." What I love about this particular healing is that it's not immediate. It's in stages, and it's done quietly in intimate friendship with God. Verse 25, once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus just simply continued his good work in this man for his good purposes. I love this quote from Alan Cole in his commentary on this passage. It's so simple and so beautiful. Jesus did not desist until the man was fully healed. And it's so, so reflective of his pursuit of us. Jesus will not desist in his pursuit of you. And finally, in verse 26, Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't even go into the village." For God, this miracle is not about the people. It's not about the people in the village. This was just something intimate between God and the blind man. And it shows us the friendship that we need to seek with God. Your relationship with Christ is unique to you and is always, always chasing after you. Through our pursuit of God for his good purposes, we will come to see him more and more in our life. You know, often I don't feel a thrill in my prayers, if I'm honest. I don't get revelation. Sometimes there's not really a sense of encounter or even like a direct sense of his spirit. And you know, that's fine. What has formed in this journey is something more softly. I think it's a comfort in his omnipotence. It just means like I'm comfortable knowing that he's everywhere around me. Here's another strong quote for you. Beholding prayer is a disposition of openness to God in every moment, whether we see or feel him there or not. He's there like oxygen. You know, my hope in prayer is not about seeking answers, seeking revelation, because his good purposes exceed my ideas of greatest purposes. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Church, this is a very big topic, and I'm not an expert. I've barely scratched the surface. Let's be real here. But please read the Word. Please seek this. Seek an intimate friendship with him, because it is what matters. Our burdens are insignificant compared to our pursuit of this. Make sure you get to a growth group if you're not in one already. Get along to Practicing the Way, because it kind of talks all about this in more detail. Spend time gazing at God. Here's a few of my own terminologies that I have made. So Strong calls it gazing at God. Here's some of mine. Being bored with the Lord. Be a mess with the Messiah. Time out with the Trinity. Reveling with the Redeemer. opportunistic omnipotence, or you could pick something that doesn't use alliteration, whatever works for you. But church, seek first his kingdom for his good purposes, because he is worthy of all of our seeking. We, as Christians, we have a blessed assurance that there is a prize waiting for us at the end, an eternity with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But even if there wasn't an assurance, to be honest, I'd still seek Jesus, because he's worthy of all of my seeking, and he's worthy of yours. To finish, I'm going to invite the band to come on up, church. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. I'm going to lead us in some adapted prayers from Strawn in his prayer book. And please let us be seeking him in our prayers. So church, please, whatever posture you like, let's pray, shall we? Loving God, one thing we ask from you, this only do we want to seek, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives, to gaze on the beauty of you and to seek you in your temple, to see that you are everywhere, your dwelling place is all across, all around us. Thank you, God, for my life, for our lives. Father, if this is it, if this is what our lives look like, if this is what my life looks like till the day we die, then it's okay. Help us to see that it's okay. We have you. We have life. We have this beautiful world. And let us be alive to enjoy you and behold you, whatever may come. Amen.